There's an old joke that's worth recycling here today, and it's about a young farmer standing out in his field, and he observes this peculiar and beckoning cloud formation. The clouds seem to form the letters G, P, and C. And so in exuberance and faith, he thinks that it's a call from God, go preach Christ. The farmer rushes to the elders of his session at his church, and he insists that he's been called to preach. So respectful of his passion, they invite him to fill the pulpit. On that fateful Sunday, his sermon is long, tedious, and virtually incoherent. When it finally ends, the leaders sit in stunned silence. Finally, a wizened elder mutters a word to the would-be preacher. Seems to me the clouds were saying, go plant corn. So here I stand before you today, heeding the call of Susan and Linda and the sabbatical committee, who, pointing to the clouds, say, look, Kramer, it's a G, a P, and a C. I bought it. So there's a lot to be said about sticking to one's profession, sticking to one's line of work, what you know, and keeping true to your own calling. And so that's what I'm going to talk to you about today, calling. What a tumultuous week it's been. As a country, we feel like we're on edge. We hear echoes of decades that we thought had passed. Unrest and assassinations in the 60s and 70s we thought were gone. And a public that elected a black president still has not reconciled our fractured history with race. It still bubbles with resentment and rage. The bloody images of violent tragedy, they're not going to go away. And unfortunately, this too now becomes a facet in which we look at ourselves and look at our call. As planning elder, I'm not here to tell you what that call is. But as your brother in Christ, I do ask that if we can find anything good out of the things that happened this week in our country, in this place, or in this time, now is the time that we should seek that. So it's sabbatical time, and as we're reminded often, it's not a time of vacation. It's a time of diligent work, but a different kind of work. Sure, we get a respite from the norm of church, but it still requires intention. Intention to renew, to recommit, and to reevaluate. The Holy Cow survey that we took earlier this year left us with a lot of information about ourselves, about our organization, about how we're connected, about our expectations, our passions, and our hopes. And your elders and deacons have had many meetings to review the data, to discuss it, to try to understand it. Some might say too many meetings. And after our church leadership retreat, we came up with three top priorities. And I'm going to share those with you today. The first priority is that through congregational dialogue, identify our common values and shared vision that builds passion and community. Second priority, renew and revitalize our community by building coalitions and partnerships. And third, through spiritual formation, build active Christian discipleship. So first things first, what's a calling? Well, sometimes when you're putting together a sentence, you can swap out the word called with either created or commanded. So created, what were you made for? What was Old First Presbyterian made for? Commanded, that means someone wants to compel you to do something. So in our case, God wants us in this place to do something. So in all things about a call, there's a listen, and then there's a follow. If a call's not answered, it's just a monologue. But when it is answered, there's a dialogue. So we reveal ourselves through dialogue. The unfolding of us as a church in this place requires us to be in constant dialogue, not only with that thing we hear, but with each other as fellow congregants. There's lots of calls in the world. There's kind of everyday calls, a wake-up call when you're at a hotel. Could be your boss telling you you messed up on something. Maybe flunking a test could be a wake-up call for one of our kids. Maybe you're wakened in the middle of the night with a knock on the door or a phone call or a baby crying. There's also calls in nature. Animals prowling. Any of you with cats or dogs, When your pet is calling you, you probably know exactly what they want and whether you can avoid or not avoid giving them that. Birds have calls. Gordon Hempton called himself a sound tracker. He took 4 months and he traveled the world recording the morning songs of birds from dawn to dawn to dawn until he circled the whole earth in mourning. It was a continuous cycle of the birthing of days. And Hempton said that there was, quote, a never-ending wave of bird song that follows the rhythm of the earth's rotation as if the sun never stopped rising and as if the birds never stopped singing. So nature has calls. It follows, it listens, and it follows. But since it's a sermon, we'll talk a little bit about biblical calls. They're rooted well in Scripture. Jacob had a dream, angels going up and down ladders. Isaiah had a vision of God on a throne and it was lifted really high. Ezekiel had a nightmare. And I can imagine the face of Erwin saying this, whirlwinds with bizarre creatures and scary faces and dry bones. But the first call in the Bible was, let there be light. And there was light. And since that first calling, where light came forth from a word, words have been becoming flesh. Every call since that first one has called us to form ourselves. Biblical calls have a few things in common. First, they're from the Godhead, God, Christ, or the Holy Spirit. Second, they're kind of unpredictable. I mean, why David? The youngest, least experienced, and probably at that time the weakest of Jesse's sons. Why Saul of Tarsus, a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, and some of us today might even say, why even Paul? St. Francis, the patron saint of our fair city, when asked why God called him, he said, God picks the weakest, the smallest, the meanest of men on the face of the earth, and he uses them. Third thing about biblical calls is they're kind of mind-boggling. They're seemingly impossible, and it's a huge flair for the dramatic. Noah, without any water around, go build a boat. Moses, slaves under the strongest nation on the planet at the time, lead my people out. Paul, go preach to Gentiles. So if you put yourselves in those guys' shoes, you might go, wait, what? Doesn't make sense. The Bible has a lot of dramatic tension. But even if those unpredictable choices in the biblical examples are just storytelling devices to keep our interest, it also serves a purpose, both in discerning God's will, but also building our faith in God to see us through in a way that we might not predict. Finally, biblical calls are unique. They're customized to the circumstance, to the needs of the time. They weren't just God's task list printed in a classified ad where we could just go look up all the cool things to do and pick the things that suit our fancy. A calling is a task. It's a mission, a vision selected just for us, even if we think that others are more worthy or more capable. There was only one Esther in the Old Testament and only one John the Baptizer, only one Moses. And here for us today, there is only one old first. So we're probably not going to get any big dramatic calls, but we do have a unique call for us. Also in understanding calls, maybe something we can relate to personally. There's personal calls, sometimes called a vocation. A few of those are big and dramatic with flaming chariots or burning bushes, although it might happen. Most are just regular calls that we tend to ignore for a while because it's that still, small voice. And it's more like a continual dripping. It just beats on us until we say, okay, okay, and we do it. For me, it's been a work with a sojourner, the immigrant, the alien among us. For others in this congregation, maybe it's been a fascination with a particular organ of the body, say a kidney, if Dr. Jean were here, or a realization of deep satisfaction in helping the sick as a nurse, or the love of teaching, or the love of programming, technology. The list is as multiple as we are here today. So in personal calls, there's also this listen and follow. And after that kind of call is heard, it becomes most important to us. Other things like financial security or notoriety, applause, power, they become less important. Obedience to or following the call becomes the primary issue. So what is Old First's call story? We kind of have a choice in the call. We kind of have a vote in the matter. Steve Tabor wrote a book about the history of Old First. So all you history buffs, if you haven't seen it, you should take a look at it. Talking about how this church was originally called with a commission. And chatting with Steve last week, he quipped that it's about time that maybe we should start the sequel. The book was published in 1999, and a lot's happened since then. But Steve, maybe what you wrote is just a preface. Just like when we all saw Star Wars in 1977 for the first time, what a great story that was. But George Lucas had other plans for his telling. It turned into a trilogy. And after the trilogy, there was a prequel trilogy. So Old First is like that. There's a story behind the story. But there's also a story after the story. And that's the story that we have to write. Our task here in these months of sabbatical is to do some research on what's the next chapter of our story. What does God have in store for Old First? So this idea of calling, it seems kind of religious. Listening connected to following, but religion is a bad word these days. In our day and age, and as noted in Holy Cow results, few, especially few here in San Francisco, look to religion to either make the world a better place or to find a call. So what is it about this word religion that is so unpopular? Perhaps it's misunderstood or misused. So Corn Farmer Kramer, here in the pulpit, I'm not a Latin or Greek scholar, and there's disagreement about what the root of the word might be. And I see some of these seminarian graduates out there nodding their heads. They may want to have a small group and have potluck with many bottles of wine and discuss the root of the word religion. But the author Greg Lavoie writes about breaking the word into its two roots, re, to do again, and ligar, or ligari, however you say it, ligament, which means to bind or to connect. So it's religar, re-ligament, to ligament again, to reconnect, to connect again. So organized religion is to go on a journey of reconnecting together in a corporate body, to remember that which has been dismembered. And that leads us back to the second scripture reading. We're all different parts in the body of Christ, but we need to be connected. We need the ligaments. We need the binding together of our parts to make us function as God intended. So back to the priority of the Holy Cow results. Or as Maggie put it to us, now that we've seen the cow, what's the holy how? How do we do this thing? How do we be the living body of Christ so that once we have the how of it at Old First, in this place and in this time, we can be the holy now? So, I see Professor George is here today. We have some homework as congregants during this time of sabbatical. And the homework is this question: who are we? And then, like any good essay question, the professor says, discuss. So if someone stops you on the road and asks, hey, dude, or hey, lady, what's Old First about? What would be your answer? In the movie The Blues Brothers, a couple of ex-convict wannabe musicians, they were trying to raise money for an orphanage. And anytime they were asked about their work, they had a standard response. We're on a mission from God. They said it as if they believed it. But the very idea of two inept, unworthy human beings could be on a mission from God was the central joke of the whole movie. And so here's the story of Old First. We're on a mission from God. Some in session have talked about what might be our elevator speech, or if we're stopped on the street, what would we say in that 45 to 60 seconds about First Presbyterian San Francisco? That question is not for your planning elder to answer for you. And it's not one that session is going to answer for us. And it's not something that is answered from the pulpit, whether our minister is on sabbatical or not. It's to be answered in our being community together, our gathering as believers together, wanting to be better disciples, wanting to bring the Creator's love to our neighbors, wanting to make our neighborhood, our world, a better place. So now what? Here's the ask. And any former Baptist out there, this is the altar call. For someone like me who grew up in a Pentecostal church, the altar call was like a red alert. Run away. And if you couldn't run away without someone noticing you, then you sat still, very, very still. But here's the ask. Who is old first? Don't despair in the question. There's hope in the question. Václav Havel, the playwright and former Czechoslovakian president, said, "Hope is not the conviction that something will turn out well, but it is the certainty in that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out." So for us here as a congregation on the corner of Sacramento and Van Ness, in a revitalizing Middle Polk neighborhood, in a consistently innovative city that is growing even bigger than it ever has been in history, in discerning our call, we can remember a few things. First, be patient. Sitting quietly often feels like doing nothing. In our Western culture, we love the answer but not the question. We covet the diamond but not the pressure and time it took to make it. Waiting is good so long as we are listening. The Lord called Samuel 3 times before he got the call right. And that means Eli, who was his spiritual coach at the time, needed 3 times to observe the misdirection or lack of direction before he even figured out it was the Lord calling the boy. That's a lot of listening. It's like when you see a butterfly trying to get out of a cocoon. You have to wait. If you try to help it out, its wings will remain crumpled and it won't be strong enough to live in its new form. We can do much damage by not being patient with our own evolution. There's also mystery. We don't need to think too much. Faith begins where knowledge leaves off. Our call could be like an email from cyberspace of mystery. Who knows where it comes from, but we get it. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Let the birds sing without deciphering the song. Just listen." We can also embrace paradox, and tension is okay. We're going to have differences of opinion as we do this together as a congregation. Embracing seemingly opposite forces without rejecting one or the other, we can live in tension for a while. Winning is good and losing is good. Freedom is good and authority is good. God bless the Book of Order. Having and giving, action and passivity, sex and celibacy, income and outgo, courage and fear. One does not cancel out the other. Both are true. So at Old First, one part of us may be certain that our call is an inner knowing, while another may be completely dumbstruck by our lack of objective proof. But it's okay. Both are true. And if this conflict sometimes feels like suffering, that's okay as well. Marion Woodman, psychologist and feminist leader, said, "Creative suffering burns clean, but neurotic suffering only builds up more soot." So it's vital how we allow these tensions we feel regarding our old first call to coexist long enough to inform us, to teach us something from which we can create. So in this sabbatical time, we can let our souls deliberate together. We're different parts of the body. The head part might say, "Well, of course Old First isn't going to attract families with kids. There are more dogs than children in San Francisco." Whereas the heart part of us might yearn for an idealized gathering of youth. But remember, in this different parts, in this seeming conflict, there's a big difference between being divided within ourselves and being divided against ourselves. With all that in mind, we have a parameter. We have something we're stuck with and blessed with. And that's this place where we are. We can't separate Old First from the corner of Sacramento and Van Ness. We are where we are, and where we are is who we are. So it's essential that Old First calling is discerned in community. Not only community for all of us as congregants, but also in community with our neighbors and the greater body of Christ, the neighboring Christian congregations, St. Paulus Lutheran, First Congregational UCC, St. Luke's or Trinity, perhaps MCC, who's sharing space with UCC and other churches. What are they doing? How are our gifts different than theirs? Maybe God doesn't want us all to do the same thing. So, including our neighbors, building relationships, it will naturally lead us to the second holy how priority, partnerships and collaborations. But that first part has to come first. Old First is in the heart of San Francisco. And let me tell you from reading Steve's book, it started in a tent, and it moved from heart to heart to heart. And even where it is today, it's still in the heart of the city. But does that city have a heart of stone? Sculptors listen to a stone before they cut it. In finding the right place, they wrap it with a hammer. If it's a dull tone, there are faults running through the stone there, and it will scatter and chip and fall away in an undesired way. But when they tap it with a hammer and there's a ring that hangs in the air for but a moment, it's a place worthy of time to be spent to sculpt it into the form. Calls are questions. Not questions that need an outright answer, but questions that we let linger. Questions that call to expose ourselves, questions that sometimes compel us to kneel in prayer. So tap the hammer and listen to what you hear. Together, let's discover how to sculpt the holy how into the holy now. And in closing, as your fellow brother in Christ, don't be afraid. Our difficulty in following God is not in finding a direction. The difficulty in following Christ is not in knowing what the path is. Rather, the difficulty is staying on the path, sticking to the road, to do justice, to love mercy, walk humbly with God, love one another. Let us take this time today and this time of sabbatical, and when we have heard God's call, let's follow. Amen.